Criminal Justice Subcommittee will come to order. Ben, please call the roll.
Chair Trunau.
Here.
Vice Chair Barnaby. Ranking Member Rayner has been excused. Representatives Abbott.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Brackett.
Here.
Bracy Davis.
Here.
Brannon.
Here.
Casello.
Here.
Garcia.
Present.
Gottlieb.
Here.
Jock.
Here.
Michael.
Here.
Plakin.
Here.
Representative Silvers has been excused. Representative Stark.
Here.
Tuck.
Here.
Yarkoski. We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ben. I want to remind everyone to please silence your cell phones. Also, as a reminder for members speaking, please ensure that you turn on your microphone when you are speaking and turn it off when you are finished. I also request that you fill out a public appearance card if you intend to speak before the committee today. Well, this is the last subcommittee meeting before session and 13 days before Christmas. Just a reminder, if you might have slipped and forgot which day it was. With that, we have four bills today. We'll be hearing HB 305, Offenses Involving Children, HB 487, Lost and Abandoned Property, HB 531, Traveling Across County Lines to Commit Crimes, Criminal Offenses, HB 607, Retention of Sexual Offense Evidence. And we will start today with HB 487, Lost and Abandoned Property. Representative Cheney, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair Trunau. Good afternoon, everyone. HB 487, Lost and Abandoned Property. This bill streamlines the process of removing derelict vessels from our waterways, contributing to safer and cleaner water. Currently, the process is a law enforcement officer identifies a derelict vessel. They have to go back and mail a notice to the owner. Then upon receipt that the owner is acknowledged or has returned the mail that it's not been acknowledged, then they have to go back to the boat and put the red tag on the boat, starting the 21-day clock for the owner to remove that vessel, or it will be removed by law enforcement at the owner's expense. So what this bill will do is now streamline that entire process, so when they identify the boat, they can immediately sticker it, start the clock. It's got the added benefit of now that boat is maybe in a community where other people know who the owner is, they see the sticker, they can help notify the owner and let them know what's going on. So it's a cost savings and time savings, huge savings on resources for our law enforcement officers on the waters, makes our boating safer and our waters cleaner. And that is the bill.
Thank you for that. Members, questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Seeing no amendments, is there any public testimony? We have Jess Milken waving in support. Thank you. Seeing no more public testimony. Any members wishing to debate? Seeing no debate, Christmas comes early. You're recognized to close on your bill.
Here's your Christmas gift from me, Chair. Wave close.
Rep. Cheney having closed on her bill, Ben, please call the roll and announce the vote.
Representative Abbott?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Bracy Davis?
Yes. Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Jock?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Plakin? Rep. Rayner has been excused. Representative Silvers has been excused. Representative Stark?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Yarkoski? Chair Trunau?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show HB 487 reported favorably. Congratulations. It's important to understand the realities of adult learners. Next, we'll have HB 531, Traveling Across County Lines. Representative Snyder, you are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, and good afternoon, members of the committee. Yes, it is Christmas time, and so it's an important time to call out that the Grinch is real. And he is a traveling criminal. And while it's not a laughing matter, it's always good to be back here at the Criminal Justice Committee, where 3 years ago I began my work trying to tackle this issue, which is near and dear to me and the folks back home in my community. And so just to rewind a little bit and actually talk about what is a traveling criminal, it's important to note that individuals who oftentimes are known to their local law enforcement communities, they know that. And by hopping on the interstate or the turnpike, they are able to drift into anonymity, travel outside their local communities, and perhaps go prey on vulnerable communities and use that as a tactic to evade law enforcement. Oftentimes, this is organized behavior. And under the current statutes that were passed back in 2015, which started the traveling burglar, these traveling burglar statutes, law enforcement must prove that the purpose of the travel was to commit the crime. These are not low-level individuals who just happen to stumble upon a crime of opportunity. Oftentimes, there is reconnaissance done ahead of time, pre-planning, again, to leave their home, go into vulnerable communities, and target those individuals. With the evolution of criminal behavior, we've seen what started as home invasions turned into car burglaries, oftentimes looking for guns and credit cards. And through the work of this legislature, as that criminal behavior has been met with greater penalties, now criminals have realized, hey, instead of breaking into a car or a house and committing that burglary, I can just walk into a retail establishment that we've targeted, carry out a series of misdemeanors, rack those up, go back home. If they get caught, again, you're dealing with simple misdemeanors or a low felony. What we're doing in this bill is expanding grand theft and forcible felonies into our traveling criminal statutes. To give law enforcement and prosecutors the ability that if they could prove that that individual left their county of residence with the sole intention to go commit that crime, it is eligible for a one-degree penalty enhancement. Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Thank you for those comments. Members, questions on the bill? Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Rep. Snyder, I appreciate the intention of the bill, but I have some concerns. You indicated it's a increase of one severity ranking level, but in reading the bill, I believe it also reclassifies the offense to the next higher degree. So it's a double bump, if you will. So a third-degree felony would go to a second-degree felony, so punishable from 5 years to 15 years, and then increase in the offense severity ranking chart. Is that correct?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the question. Yes, that is. You are correct. There is a one-degree penalty enhancement, as well as the additional enhancement on the offender score sheet.
Follow-up?
Thank you, Chair. Also, I don't see anything in the bill that indicates that it applies only to habitual or repeat offenders. So could this, or if some county wanted to, apply it to a first-time offender who traveled over state lines? County lines.
Representative, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the question. Yes, there is no, it does not have to be a multiple offense, but it is that act of intentionally crossing county lines to commit one of these offenses.
Thank you, Chair.
Questions? Seeing no amendments, is there public testimony? We have Jonathan Weber, SPLC Action Fund, wishes to speak.
Good afternoon. My name is Jonathan Weber. I am the policy director for the SPLC Action Fund. I do urge you to vote no on this bill today. So first, committing a grand theft or forcible felony is already illegal in Florida. However, the conflation of crimes ranging from treason and manslaughter to grand theft seems odd. The vast disparity between offenses such as sexual battery or murder and less severe acts like stealing a bicycle or snatching an iPhone unnecessarily complicates a bill like this. But to reiterate, all of these crimes are already prohibited in Florida. As per existing statute, stealing a bicycle valued at over $100 from someone's porch is presently classified as a third-degree felony carrying a maximum sentence of 5 years imprisonment. However, under the provisions of this bill, the same offense could be escalated to a second-degree felony, subjecting the perpetrator to a maximum sentence of 15 years simply because the neighborhood next door happens to be in a different county. That's a pretty big leap for what is the same crime. This bill is not about whether any of these crimes should or should not be illegal. Of course they should, and they are. This bill asks us, does the increased severity of punishment deter crimes? According to the National Institute of Justice, which is the research arm of the Federal Department of Justice, the answer to that question is no. Well, you may think that at least the perpetrators are off the streets and therefore incapacitated to commit another crime, which is definitely true in the short term. A person cannot be simultaneously behind bars and committing crimes in a neighborhood. In response to this argument, the NIG also argues that prisons may actually exacerbate recidivism and prisons themselves may be schools for learning to commit crimes. So in closing, the acts mentioned in this bill are already illegal. If the efficacy of deterring crime were directly tied to the severity of the penalties, we could theoretically impose life sentences for every infraction and end crime forever, but that's not how it works. We urge you to redirect attention to programs and policies that effectively deter criminal behavior and focus on true rehabilitation of the convicted and incarcerated. Alternatively, removing certain elements of grand theft from this bill would also be welcome, as well as establishing a minimum distance threshold from a person's residence to the criminal act. Going back to the example of the stolen bike I gave earlier, if a person lives just a few miles from the crime and it happens to be in another county, it doesn't make sense for this bill to apply. Thank you for your time and consideration. Please vote no. Thank you.
Thank you. Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Barney Bishop. I'm with the Florida Smart Justice Alliance. We're here in support of this very good bill. Let's take a moment and think. Crime is down in Florida. Why is crime down in Florida? Crime is down in Florida because the legislature over the last decade has sensed the need for public safety and as a result has been tough on crime. Now, with everything that we see going around the country, where municipalities, states are going easy on criminals, where the murder rate in New Orleans, Chicago, New York, LA, and I could go on, is through the roof. This is a time when public safety, which is government's number one job, this is the time to enforce this. Quite frankly, a gentleman spoke about a bike that was $100. I don't know a bike that's $100 anymore. They're very expensive. But the point of the fact is that if you do this, criminals will get the message. And if they don't, then they'll go to prison. And hopefully we can treat those people while we're in prison. We need to do more of that. And Smart Justice is in favor of more treatment for inmates that are nonviolent. But somebody that sits down and thinks, okay, I'm going to go from West Palm Beach to Fort Lauderdale or to Miami, or from Gadsden County to Tallahassee, or from Okaloosa County to Escambia to commit a crime, there should be a greater penalty. So Smart Justice asks you to support this very good bill, and we appreciate Representative Snyder bringing this up again. Thank you. And by the way, we've always supported this bill from the very beginning. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Matthew Dunnigan waves in support. Are there any members wishing to debate? Vice Chair Barnaby, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I want to speak in full support of this bill. I echo the sentiments of the Smart Justice with Mr. Barney Bishop. I believe that our first duty as lawmakers is to protect the public safety. And clearly throughout the country, there's been a movement, a shift towards not allowing law enforcement to do their jobs. I thank God that in the state of Florida, we remain the free state of Florida simply because we have the best protection for the public safety. And that's why more people throughout the United States would want to live in the great state of Florida, because we put public safety as number one. And I commend Representative Snyder on this extremely good bill. I urge all of my colleagues to be up on this bill, that we continue to do our job and continue to promote public safety, because in Florida, you will have a good Christmas. We will make sure that the Grinch doesn't visit your house. And I'm saying this because my house was broken into a few years ago by a criminal during the Christmas season. And law enforcement had to find this individual because he left his fingerprints all over my back porch door. And fortunately, we found this individual and was able to prosecute him and have him locked up where he was not able to break into my house or anyone else's home. So I'm speaking on this because if my wife were here, she would be speaking up. But I'm speaking on behalf of the many families who don't have an opportunity to speak about when you are being violated, and I felt violated when my home was broken into. So thank you again, Representative Snyder, for this very good bill.
Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Rep. Snyder, I think the premise behind the bill, I definitely understand. I've spoken to the Retail Association, certainly locally and here, and I understand that retail crimes are up. I myself, as a criminal defense practitioner, have seen kids going from one county to another to commit grand theft autos because an adult gets them involved in the crime and they're then selling the car. But there's a lot of things here that I think are wrong with the bill, although I do think it's well-intentioned. So if you're taking we're hitting somebody with a double enhancement. So for instance, if somebody steals a bike, okay, and that the value of that bike is less than $750, let's just take that, it should be a petty theft. But if you take it off somebody's porch, which is defined as the curtilage of the property, it becomes a burglary, okay? And if we do a burglary structure, it's a third-degree offense, punishable by 5 years in prison. That person would normally be entitled to a withheld adjudication, meaning they could go through the system. They don't become a convicted felon. They have an opportunity to rehabilitate themselves. They get diversion in many counties as a third-degree felony. When you elevate that to a second-degree felony, now they're looking at 15 years in prison and, in most cases, a mandatory adjudication. You're then taking it and elevating that, what could be a theft offense, it's now a burglary, and it's now a second degree, punishable by 15 years, and increasing the offense level. There's a very good likelihood that in some counties that person is going to go to prison, potentially as a first-time offender, because there's no safeguards in the bill to prohibit it from applying to a first-time offender. So while I think we have the need, and I disagree with Mr. Bishop that crime is down, crime is up, actually. Crime is up in the state of Florida. Crime was artificially down from 2008 on because I believe, personally, we have devices like the cell phone. The cell phone drove drug dealing, prostitution, and certain crimes stealing people's identity underground so that nobody dumpster dives for somebody's identity anymore. You steal it off the computer. If you want drugs or a prostitute, you call it up on the phone. It's there. And it's taken law enforcement, 10 years really to catch up with the offender. So we're now seeing more and more and more arrests, and violent crime is certainly on the rise. I get the intention. I don't think it's going to accomplish what you want it to accomplish. And I think it's a very big net that's going to catch some dolphin in that tuna net. So I know you and I have spoken, and you're willing to work on it, so hopefully we'll have that conversation and tweak it, because I do recognize the need for it. Just not certain I can vote for it in the way it is now.
Representative Casello, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Snyder, proud to have you in our Palm Beach delegation. I know you are a law and order type gentleman, and I like that. I'm a law and order type guy. My concern with the bill is, I'm going to be up on it today, but my concern is the discretion of the prosecutors. Let's go back to that bicycle on the porch scenario. It's a crime of opportunity, and a lot of times crime is an opportunity. And if some teenager, not using the best discretion, takes that bike, he could be prosecuted to the level of what my colleague had just mentioned, getting 15 years in prison for a bicycle theft. That's my concern. I should have asked this in questions. What leeway does the prosecutor have? Does it automatically go into this statute, or does he have the restriction to, you know, dummy down the offense? That would be mine. I'm going to be up on it today. Hopefully, as it goes through the committees, that we get some of these answers cleared up on it and in a better posture. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Snyder, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the members of the committee. Certainly, Representative Gottlieb, value your experience and look forward to the conversation so we can make sure there's not unintended consequences. So appreciate that. And members, hope to have your favorable support. With that, I close.
Representative Snyder, having closed on his bill, Ben, please call the roll and announce the vote on HB 531.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Bracy Davis?
No.
Brannon?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
No.
Jock?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Rayner has been excused. Silvers has been excused. Stark?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Yarkoski?
Yes.
Chair Trunow?
Yes.
14 yeas, 2 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show HB 531 reported favorably. Next, we have HB 305, offenses involving children, by Representative Baker. You are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to present this bill. HB 305 adds human trafficking of a minor to the list of offenses for which a single conviction requires an offender to be designated as a sexual predator. Human trafficking of a minor is a life felony, and all other convictions for life felonies regarding sexual offenses against minors are automatically designated as a sexual predator, so this bill makes it consistent. Additionally, the bill increases the age at which the child hearsay exception applies from 16 to 17 years of age or less. And so this also makes the exception consistent for all minors. And that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Members, questions? Questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we have an amendment. Representative Baker, you're recognized to present your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the amendment specifies that under the bill, only a person convicted of a specified human trafficking offense where the victim is a minor will automatically be designated as a sexual predator. It also ensures that a person's prior specified human trafficking conviction can still serve as a predicate offense for sexual predator designation should the person commit another sexual offense. It's a technical amendment, and that's the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Questions on the amendment? Any public testimony on the amendment? No public testimony. Seeing none. And there are three components. Debate? We're on the amendment. Any debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate. Representative Baker, you are recognized to close on your amendment.
Wave close, Mr. Chair.
If you are in favor of the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay. Opposed by saying no. By your vote, the amendment is adopted. Back on the bill as amended. Is there public testimony on the bill as amended? Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, wish to speak. Thank you. Waving in support. We have Nancy Lothar, PhD from Florida PTA, wishing to speak. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon to the committee.
I am Nancy Lawther from Florida PTA, rising on behalf of Florida PTA in support of this bill. And this is under the cover of Florida PTA's resolution on child protection, as well as National PTA's resolution on child trafficking. I have a personal story to add to this. 24 years ago, I was the alternate juror on a child sexual abuse case. I remember this vividly. 24 years ago, I remember the name of the child. I remember the name of the accused. I remember the child on the witness stand. That child had been interviewed 2 years previously on videotape. And the difference between that child's testimony in court versus on videotape was stark. On videotape, the child interviewed by a social worker, the social worker played devil's advocate. Oh, you saw this on TV. This didn't really happen. And the child's indignation, as only a child can be indignant, was remarkable. Yes, this happened. And the child even said, are you stupid? He did this, he did that. On the stand, the child was paralyzed. I remember the dress. I never saw so many petticoats in my life. But the child was equally stiff as her dress. And when asked to identify the assailant, she was unable to do so. As a member of the jury, I heard my fellow jurors gasp. And then at the first break, many of them in the break room started to talk about it. And I said, no, we can't discuss the case until we've heard all of the evidence. We can't discuss this moment. And they didn't believe me at first. There was an 18-year-old fresh out of high school who was on the juror and said, yes, this is the case. We can't discuss it. But that, I think, was the turning point. The child on the stand was different than the child on the videotape. And for that reason, we are in support of raising the age of the exemption on in-courtroom child testimony up to the full age of 17 when a child is still a minor. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, we are in debate. Any debate? Any members wishing to speak? Seeing none, Representative Baker, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you. I'll waive close.
Representative Baker, having closed on her bill, Ben, please call roll on HB 305 and announce the vote.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Bracey Davis?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Jock?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Plakin? Rayner has been excused. Silvers has been excused. Stark?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Yarkoski?
Yes.
Chair Trunow?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show HB 305 reported favorably. Congratulations. Next, we will have HB 607, Retention of Sexual Offense Evidence, by Representative Plankin. You are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair Trunow.
I really appreciate the opportunity to present HB 607, Retention of Sexual Offense Evidence. The bill requires a sexual offense evidence kit to be retained for at least 8 years if the victim does not report the crime within 72 hours. Under current law, there is no clear guidance on retention, and sometimes kits from non-reporting victims are destroyed. If a victim chooses to report years later, this bill will help give the survivor time to come forward and will help prevent false charges of a defendant. Additionally, the bill details guidance on how the kits should be stored. That is the bill.
Thank you. Members, questions on the bill? Representative Casello, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative, is there a statute of limitations now, like how long before they can prosecute or have to keep the kit, the rape kit now? Isn't there a timeline now already in place?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for that question, Representative. There is not. So sometimes if the victim does not report right away, these kits can get thrown away, or sometimes they can be stored indefinitely. So this 8 years will help kind of make a uniform time for the entire state.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Questions? Seeing no more questions, we have an amendment on the bill, amendment barcode 706935. Representative Plankin, you are recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Chair. The amendment clarifies that DNA evidence not contained in a sexual offense evidence kit collected from a reporting victim must be retained until the prosecuting agency authorizes its destruction. It also clarifies that if a non-reporting victim later makes a report to law enforcement or makes a request for testing of his or her sexual offense evidence kit, his or her kit must then be retained until the prosecuting agency authorizes its destruction. The amendment also makes technical changes. That is the amendment.
Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, public testimony on the amendment. We have Bobby Smith from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement waving in support. Seeing no other public testimony, members wishing to debate on, We are on the amendment. Yes, ma'am. Members wishing to debate on the amendment. Seeing no member, Representative Plankin, you are recognized to close on your amendment.
Wave close.
If you're in favor of the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay. Opposed, no. By your vote, the amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Is there public testimony on the bill? We have Bobby Smith, Florida Department of Law Enforcement, waving in support. We have Barbara Devane, Florida Now, waving in support. Thank you. We have Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, wishing to speak. Thank you, waving in support. Are there any members wishing to debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Plankin, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Wave close.
Having closed on her bill, Ben, please call the roll on HB 607 and announce the vote.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Gracie Davis?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Jacques?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Plankin?
Yes.
Rayner has been excused. Silvers has been excused. Stark?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Yarkovsky?
Yes.
Chair Truno?
Yes.
16 yeas, zero nays, Mr. Chair.
Show HB 607 reported favorably. Congratulations. So that concludes today's agenda for this meeting and the last committee meeting before session. I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah. Members, if there's no further business, Representative Brannon moves. We rise. Without objection, this meeting is adjourned.